The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Let's return this morning to Ruth chapter 2. In continuation of our series on the book of Ruth, last week we considered Ruth 2 verses 1 through 9. This morning we will take as our text verses 10 through 14. And let's read just the first 14 verses this morning. Ruth 2, 1 through 14, the text, verses 10 through 14. And that text I will not reread. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." And she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came, and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Now the text. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." And she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens." And Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. Thus far we read the Holy Scripture this morning. Ruth 2, 10 through 14 is the text for the sermon this morning. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, let us return to that barley field just outside of the little town of Bethlehem and see two people conversing face to face. One of them is the mighty man of wealth in Israel. He's the man who actually owns the field, or at least part of the field. His name is Boaz. And the other is that lowly, poor widow who came out of Moab. Her name is Ruth. There they talk face to face. Last week, in consideration of the first 9 verses of the chapter, we marveled at the surprising providence of God that brought face to face these 2 completely different people who were literally and spiritually worlds apart, one in Moab, one in Israel, and yet God brought them face to face in the barley field just outside of Bethlehem. And we marveled at the good covenantal purpose of God, who would use this initial encounter and meeting to lead eventually to a marriage. And marriage to a son, and way, way down in the lineage to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. But let's go back into the barley field tonight, and this morning rather, and see Ruth and Boaz talking to one another. Boaz thus far has done most of the talking. Ruth is there gleaning some grain that she might have daily bread for herself and for her mother-in-law. And Boaz has said to her, stay right here in my part of the field. You don't need to grab a handful here and a handful there and go over yonder. Just stay right here fast by my maidens. And I have already exhorted my servants not to touch you. You will be safe here. And when you get thirsty, feel free to go over to the drinking vessels where my servants get a drink. Help yourself and have a drink. Kindness came pouring out of the heart of Boaz to this poor woman, Ruth. And she was overwhelmed by it all. And now this morning we need to picture her falling down in astonishment and humility to the recently harvested field right at the feet of Boaz. Verse 10, the text begins, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? In verse 11, Boaz goes on to tell her how he was impressed by her devotion to the covenant and to God and the people of God by forsaking everything in Moab and moving into Israel. And then in verse 12, he reveals to Ruth his desire for her. As he prays to God, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Ruth responds, verse 13, by thanking him for his goodness to her, his comfort. Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid. Boaz comforted Ruth with his words. He not only demonstrated acts of kindness, but he comforted her with his words. And she's overwhelmed by it all. In order properly to understand the revelation of God's grace in this passage, we must see that all of this goodness of Boaz to Ruth is the Lord rewarding Ruth. It is the reward. It is so ironic that Boaz desires that God reward the faith and the works of Ruth when God is at this very moment rewarding the faith and work of Ruth. Through Boaz, he will reward her yet more in the future. But here already, he's rewarding her faith. God loves to give his people rewards. And he's very fond of using his own people, like Boaz, to reward his people like Ruth. Let's look at this passage this morning under the theme, Ruth's Faith Rewarded. 3 things. First of all, the faith of a stranger. Second, the reward of grace. And third, the response of humility. God bestowed upon his chosen handmaid Ruth the saving gift of faith, so that Ruth believed and trusted in God. Although chapter 1 never explicitly told us that Ruth had faith, it did speak of her confession of faith. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. And it revealed to us the activity of her faith as she clave to Naomi, desiring to enter into the promised land with her. However, here in chapter 2, through the words of Boaz, the Holy Spirit expressly declares that Ruth had faith. And we find that in verse 12 when Boaz says, "May a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." To trust or to take refuge in is the activity of faith. Ruth has faith. Ruth is exercising her faith. There are three noteworthy characteristics of the faith of Ruth that come out in the passage before us this morning. First, and most striking and distinctive, for this distinguished her now from the others in Bethlehem, she had the faith of a stranger. Verse 10, having fallen on her face, she says before Boaz, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" Ruth was a Gentile stranger in the land of Israel, and she knew it. Prior to Pentecost, in the old dispensation, there was a definite distinction between the nation of Israel and all of the other nations of the world. For God had established his covenant with the people who lived in Israel, who were of the seed of Abraham. And God rejected all of the other nations, Moab included. In fact, the nation of Moab was not only distinct from Israel, it was an enemy of Israel. Remember, this book is set in the broader context of the history of the judges. See the opening line of the book. And during the period of the judges, we know that the Moabites came for 18 years under their king, whom the Bible calls that very fat King Eglon, and they oppressed Israel. Moab is the enemy of Israel. But now here is a stranger from Moab in Israel believing in God. Ruth has the faith of a stranger. And that she does extols the sovereign grace of Jehovah God. Faith is always the gift of God, and it's really a miraculous work that one should believe. No one naturally believes. No one of his own so-called free will chooses God. By nature, everyone hates God, is opposed to God, and will choose anyone under the sun but God. That a human being on the face of the earth should believe in God is a wonder. It's a miracle, the miracle of faith. Now, it's easy for us sometimes to take faith for granted, because we live in the covenant of God, where God is so good and faithful to his covenant promise in saving us and our children in the line of continued generations. And so often our experience is that our children, the children of the church, believe in God. But the danger is that we become accustomed to a human being around us believing in God, and we fail to grasp the wonder of it all, that not even one of our children deserves to have faith. It's a miracle that one person in this building believes in God. One. Faith is God's miracle, his wonder work. And what extols the sovereignty and graciousness of God in the salvation of Ruth is that he went outside of Israel, outside of the sphere of the covenant, outside of the natural seed of Abraham. That is, he went outside of the walls of the instituted church of Jesus Christ, and he bestowed faith upon a stranger, one who had pagan parents, who was brought up not to fear the Lord, to walk in his commandments, to worship him and to pray to him, but a girl who was brought up in Moab to fear Chemosh and to bow down before that wicked idol god of Moab. The salvation of a human being could not be more hopeless than the salvation of this stranger to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world, in Moab. But God saved her. God gave her faith. And here she is in Israel, a believing stranger. She was only a stranger outwardly. Because Ruth had faith, and in the end, that's really all that matters. Not nationality, skin color, race, language, ethnic, cultural background. In the end, what matters most is that a man or a woman have faith, because Ruth has faith, because she's been grafted into the Lord Jesus Christ. To use the language of the New Testament, she is a Jew. Inwardly, having the circumcision of the heart, she is a daughter of Abraham because she has faith. Gentile faith in the Old Testament was rare. What a miracle of God is Ruth, the stranger. Still today, God often goes outside of the walls of the instituted, gathered church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He brings into the fellowship of Christ those who have no background and no lineage in the history of the church. They are miracles of God. If Ruth of Moab can be saved, then that ought to encourage us in our witnessing. Anyone can be saved. If Ruth can be saved. But in the end, we're all miracles. Because we're all strangers. No one here has the blood of Abraham. We're all Gentiles. Furthermore, essentially, as a stranger, as the one who is a stranger is a sinner. One who's dead in sin of himself. He's a stranger to the covenant of God. And we were all dead sinners brought into the life of God's covenant. Strangers given faith. So first of all, Ruth has the faith of a stranger. Secondly, Ruth, the stranger, had a trusting faith. Now, when we say Ruth had a trusting faith, we are not implying that there is a faith that does not trust, but only doubts. Everyone who has faith has a trusting faith. True knowledge of and personal trust in God are essential to faith. Now, we don't always exercise our faith as we should. We don't always consciously trust in God as we should, and too often we doubt and fear. Nevertheless, trusting is essential to faith. Ruth had faith. Ruth trusted. And that's so beautifully illustrated in the text when Boaz says, "The Lord recompense thy work," verse 12, "and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." One of the beautiful pictures in creation that illustrates the relationship between God and His people is the relationship between a little baby bird, vulnerable and weak in itself, and its loving, protective mother. So you picture a little baby bird hopping around in the dirt. It is so weak. It cannot provide itself food. It is subject to the elements. It could be pelted with hail. It could be hunted and taken by a fox or a hawk. But instinctively, that bird, a little baby, presses up against the body of its mother and snuggles with its mother, who then wraps her loving and protective wings around and overshadows her little baby. God is like the tender-hearted, fiercely protective mother. And Ruth, and every believer, weak and vulnerable as we are in ourselves, we are like the little baby bird, and we find refuge in God. Ruth did not always trust under the wings of the Almighty, for Boaz says in verse 12, "Under whose wings thou art come to trust." As an unbelieving Moabite, she had no need for God. She thought she had no need for God. But when God gave her faith And God opened up her eyes to him as he was revealed to her through the instruction of her mother-in-law, Naomi, already there in Moab. Then Ruth began to see that God is a loving God of protection, and that she, Ruth, is a weak and vulnerable sinner. And by faith, she pressed against the Lord God, and she came to trust under the shadow of his wings. Faith trusts in God. Ruth's trusting faith viewed God through the promised Messiah, whom we know as the Lord Jesus Christ. For Boaz says in verse 12 that she has come to trust under the wings of the Lord God of Israel. That is Jehovah God of Israel. That's the revelation of God in his covenantal grace, Jehovah. And that name appears in the New Testament as Jesus, which means Jehovah salvation. Ruth trusted in God as the God of the promised Messiah. Without Jesus Christ, without being one with Christ, without having the covering of Christ and the righteousness of Christ, no sinner can know God as a protector, but knows him as a destroyer. Just think of the Egyptians back on the other side of the Red Sea on the last night in which the Israelites were there in the land, when God came through the camp as a destroyer. And when one did not have blood on his doorpost, they did not know God as a protector. They knew him as a destroyer. Ruth not only saw God as the Almighty God, but as the gracious Jehovah, to whom she could flee for refuge because she had come to believe in his promised word, which promised a Messiah, whom we know as our Lord Jesus Christ. To find refuge in God is to press by faith into the arms of the crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. To trust in God is to trust in Jesus. And Ruth did. And so even before she entered into the land of Israel with any insecurities about herself as a stranger and how it's going to go making friends with the young women of Bethlehem, because I'm different, I don't know your customs, I don't know your laws, your ways. Even before any consideration of anything like that upon entering into Israel, already back in Moab and on her way to Israel, she was trusting under the overshadowing wings of Jehovah because she knew she was a sinner who had how many years of idolatry in her past for which God could destroy her. As a sinner, she trusted under the wings of Jehovah, whom she knew through the revelation of his promised Messiah, the Christ. Furthermore, Ruth's trusting faith viewed God as the God of Israel. Boaz says in verse 10, a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. That is, God's wings did not overshadow Moab. God's wings overshadowed Israel. And Ruth knew that to come under the protection of God's wings meant moving to Israel, where God was revealed in his grace through the ark, through the tabernacle, through all of the promises and the types and shadows of the law. We just finished singing Psalter 160, stanza 4. Within thy holy temple, Lord, I ever will abide. Beneath the covert of thy wings in confidence I hide. Where? In Israel, where the temple is. God is the God of Israel, the church. And therefore we find our refuge in God through membership in his church, for there God is, and there by faith we come under the shadow of his wings. And Ruth knew that. Trusts. Faith trusts. Beloved, we are all like little baby birds, and where will we find daily bread? Even for the body. Or work through which we can have daily bread? Where will we find spiritual food? And what will we do when the hailstorms of adversity come into our body or into our home and family? And what will we do when a fox of temptation or a hawk of persecution suddenly comes upon us? What time we little baby birds are afraid, we will trust under the wings of Jehovah God. If there's room for a Moabite under God's wings of security, there's room in Jesus Christ for you and me. Faith trusts. Third, Ruth had the faith of a stranger. Ruth had a faith that trusts. And now Ruth had a faith that was obedient. Faith always trusts and obeys. In verse 12, Boaz says, "The Lord recompense thy work." In verse 11, he describes the work, what Ruth had done. Verse 11, "And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband." Maybe it wouldn't have been all that surprising after Ruth's husband, the son of Naomi, died, that gradually Ruth and Naomi begin to drift apart, for the natural bond had been separated. But it didn't happen because they loved each other, and Ruth especially loved and clave to her mother-in-law, Naomi. And here she was in the barley field gleaning food, not only for herself, but for her mother-in-law, Naomi. She was providing for her in love. Good work. And Boaz was impressed. He goes on to say, verse 11, "And how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." Ruth had left everything familiar to her. She left her father, she left her mother, she left her friends, her home, her family, the land of her nativity. And she did all of this while she was a young woman, a damsel, and moved into a strange land, the land of Israel. Good work. Boaz has noticed it. Ruth not only has the faith of her father Abraham, Ruth has the obedience of her father Abraham. Hebrews 11 verse 8, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went." Ruth obeyed the will of God, which she knew to be to leave the pagan land of Moab and to go into the strange land of Israel and there to care for her mother-in-law. She trusted and obeyed. All those who believe in God are willing, if necessary, to say goodbye to their earthly parents, friends, land of nativity, home. And when father and mother say, "I don't understand, why do you no longer have communion with us?" Faith responds by saying, "I've cast my lot with God and his people." And the father of Moab says, "But we don't understand. And you're a stranger there. Why don't you come back home and dwell under the wings of us, your parents, who have raised you from the time you were a little infant? Why this separation?" Then faith says, "Father and mother, I still love you and I will always love you. But we don't have very much in common anymore. You're a Moabite. I'm a daughter of Abraham by faith. I believe in God, and the Israelites are my spiritual family. And I know and believe that God will provide for me there as I come to trust under the shadow of his wings." Faith obeys. The faith of Ruth was the trusting and obedient faith of a stranger. God rewarded Ruth. Stranger Ruth's faith and devotion to the people and God of Israel so stirred Boaz in the depths of his soul that he speaks to Ruth in verses 11 and 12, saying, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and are come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. This is my desire now." Verse 12, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." The desire of Boaz is that God reward Ruth. The desire of Boaz is legitimate and good, that God reward Ruth. Boaz knows, as well as Moses before him, that there is such a thing as the reward of God. Hebrews 11, 25 and 26 says of Moses, "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he," Moses, "he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith Moses said about the easy life in Egypt, no. And by faith Moses said about the very hard life of affliction with Israel, yes, knowing God rewards." And Ruth had just made the same choice of faith. No to Moab and yes to Israel, though she probably did not have respect unto the recompense of the Lord, the recompense of the reward of the Lord. But Boaz did. Boaz knows there's a reward. Boaz also knows it's not a reward of merit, but of grace. Boaz was not the first Pharisee or Roman Catholic. He was not asking God to repay Ruth the debt that he owed her for all of the good works that she had done in her obedience in caring for Naomi and moving unto Israel. No man, Jesus Christ excepted, can earn or merit a reward from God. Ruth's entire existence, Ruth's saving faith, the obedience of Ruth that came out of her faith, all of the good works that proceeded from her faith have their source in God and His grace. If Ruth were able to love God perfectly, she could not. But if Ruth were able to love God perfectly and serve Him perfectly for the rest of her life, she would be merely an unprofitable servant to whom God owes nothing, because she's merely doing what God has commanded her to do, as Jesus taught His disciples and the Pharisees. But Boaz, like Moses before him, knows there is a reward of grace. Though God is not obligated to do so, out of the benevolence of His exceedingly generous and gracious heart, He rewards the faith and works of His people by bestowing upon them blessings that were earned in Jesus Christ. Sometimes the reality that God graciously rewards the works of His people is only treated as a matter of polemics and not as a matter of wonder. That is, sometimes we spend so much time defending the fact that God actually rewards His people. And by the way, if you remember from just a few weeks ago on Lord's Day 24, no one spoke of the reward more than Jesus Himself. See the Sermon on the Mount. Spend so much time defending the fact that God actually rewards His people, and that God rewards His people of grace and not of merit that we get so distracted by the defense, we fail to see the wonder of it all. God rewards. How can we even begin to comprehend the goodness of God to unworthy sinners? God gives this unworthy Gentile sinner the gift of saving faith. That's amazing. God works in this unworthy Gentile stranger the obedience of faith, so that she cleaves to her mother-in-law and she comes to dwell in the promised land of Canaan. She humbles herself out in a field so that she can bring daily bread home to her mother-in-law. This is amazing. The work of God in Ruth. God gives to Ruth the enjoyment of her salvation so that she has pardon and peace under the wings of God. This is amazing. But then, God is so immeasurably generous that he freely rewards her faith and work. God will reward her. Boaz says, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel." And God will reward her. He will hear and answer the prayer of Boaz and reward Ruth with so many blessings that are so staggering, it's almost too wonderful to believe. He will not only take Ruth into his kingdom, he will crown her and he will robe her and he will bedeck her with unfathomable honor. She will be given a husband. And remember, back in Moab, or at least on the way out of, Naomi said, "No, you go back to Moab and find rest in the home of a husband." She was saying, "You'll never find a husband in Israel. No one will want to marry you, the Moabite stranger." God will give her a husband, and not just any man, this mighty man of wealth, Boaz of Bethlehem. And God will give her a comfortable, wonderful life in Bethlehem. And God will give her a baby boy. Ruth never expected that. That she would get married again and that she would have a little baby boy. And you trace the lineage of this boy as it comes at the end of the book and it runs through David. God will make Ruth a royal mother, the great grandmother of the great King David, and you keep tracing that lineage all the way down, Ruth will become a royal mother of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. She will be crowned with honor as one of the mothers of Christ, and eternally she will live in heaven under the wings of King Jesus himself into all eternity. Ruth? Ruth, the stranger of Moab, God will not only save her and bring her into his covenant, he will heap upon her all these blessings, one after another. He will so reward her. He will. He will give exactly what Boaz prayed for. A full reward shall be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. But we ought to see that God is already rewarding Ruth through Boaz. First of all, he's rewarding her through all of these acts of kindness from Boaz. God will not merely give Ruth a little something for her daily bread. Look at all of the things Boaz has already given her as we considered them last week. And now look at verse 14. Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime, come thou hither. And eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." That was a weak, sweet wine. It was a treat for the laborers to dip their bread in a little bit of vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. That was a roasted grain. Again, a kind of special treat for the reaper. But notice that. She sat beside the reapers. And this is so intimate and personal. and he, Boaz, reached her some of the parched corn here for you. What uncommon privileges. And she did eat and was sufficed and left. How wonderful to be recognized and to be treated so kindly by this Boaz. God is rewarding her through Boaz. In the second place, God is rewarding her through the comforting words of Boaz. She says in verse 13, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly." That is, thou hast spoken unto the heart of, very literally there, spoken to the heart of thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens. Our words carry more weight than we sometimes imagine. Sometimes our words are viewed by us as being rather inexpensive. We might toss around a word of comfort like a penny. And here a penny, and there a penny. But the words of comfort we speak to others, though we regard them as pennies, they might be received as silver coins and gold nuggets that really touch someone in the heart. Boaz told Ruth he was touched by her devotion to Naomi and to Israel. And to hear that from Boaz, that was so comforting to Ruth. It touched her in the heart, because what she had to do was so hard. To leave her father and her mother and her whole upbringing and her friends and family. And now here's a man who recognizes what I had to do was hard. And he's comforting me through that. That touched her in the heart. She was comforted and encouraged. And that spurs her on in a life of godliness. And thirdly, God is rewarding her not only with the kind acts, not only with the comforting words, but with the prayers of Boaz. Verse 12 is really his prayer. May the Lord recompense thy work. Someone is praying for me. Someone is praying for me, and someone is praying for me, the stranger. The mighty man of Israel, in all the busyness of his life, he so thinks about me that he will pray for me. Now go all the way back to Moab. When Ruth first believed in God, she first came to trust under his wings and decided she must move out of that pagan land into God's promised land of Israel. Ruth never expected a reward. She was not going so that she could have a reward. She was simply obeying God and trusting he would provide for her in her new home. And then she arrives. And God begins showering one thing after another, blessing after blessing, reward after reward upon her. Her, the stranger from Moab. So the desire of Boaz was already being fulfilled. God was rewarding Ruth. Beloved, our God rewards. Sometimes the obedience of faith is costly. Maybe in your personal life or home life or work life, God is setting before you a very, very difficult way. Trust and obey, for there is no other way. And no matter how high the costs of obedience are and what we have to sacrifice and suffer, they do not compare to the rewards. Our God is so good. He doesn't need to reward us. We have salvation itself. We have pardon of our iniquity and peace with God under the shadow of his wings. But God is so liberal in his grace that he not only gives us the gift of peace through pardon with him, but then as Article 24 of the Belgic Confession says, he not only gives us gifts, but then he crowns those gifts with more and more and more and more gifts because he is so generous. As he did to Ruth, so also he will reward us. And God rewards often through the communion of the saints, so that his rewards sometimes come through the kind acts and through the comforting words and through the fervent prayers of others who say, "The Lord recompense thy work." God rewards. do not, you may not look back and see all the good things God has given you and try to trace them to your works, to your obedience. Try to correlate God's blessings with your obedience and conclude these works are lining up with a lot of rewards. And I don't see some of these blessings in my life. Maybe I have to do more of some other kind of good works. Don't trace the line from the reward of God to your works. God rewards the obedient believer. God rewards the believer in the way of obedience and not in the way of disobedience. But God does not reward the obedient believer because of, on the ground of, his obedience. The reward is merely of grace in Jesus Christ. God rewards, and one day we will see the rewards as never before in the everlasting inheritance of heaven, in the barley fields of heaven, ripe for harvest with all of the gold and sheaves of righteousness and life eternal under the overshadowing wings of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. God rewards. He's a God of goodness. And the response of humility is ours too. Ruth responded in humility. After all the good things Boaz had done to her, as we saw them last week in the first 9 verses, then Ruth, we read of Ruth in verse 10, she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" Grace. Grace. Amazing grace. Grace means I do not deserve any of this. Who am I? Grace. Why have I found grace in thine eyes? And notice, she doesn't say, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, as thou hast given to me all these favors and all these good things." She doesn't look at the good things, though they are so pleasant. She looks right into the heart of Boaz. And she says, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" Why have you noticed me? Why did you even look at me? Me, of all the people in Bethlehem and in the land of Israel, I am a stranger. Why, why did you stop and notice me? And overwhelmed by the goodness of Boaz, she falls to the ground in humility and astonishment before him. And Boaz probably had her stand back up when he says in verse 11, "It hath fully been showed me." And verse 12, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel." And then verse 13, she said, "Let me find favor." And that's the same word translated grace in the preceding verse. "Let me find grace in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like one of thy handmaidens." She says the same thing. Even after Boaz has commended her faith and obedience, Ruth is so far from thinking that she is entitled to something, even from a human being, let alone from God Himself, that she pleads grace again in her unworthiness. "I'm not like unto one of thy handmaidens. I don't deserve anything from you. You have no responsibility to care for me. You could ignore me. I'm just a poor, strange, Moabitish woman whom God's providence has placed in your field. My Lord may I continue to find grace in thine eyes. Grace. This is the response of humility. And Ruth's response to Boaz is significant because it surely is her response to God. And it is the response of all of us believing strangers in the covenant who have come to trust under the wings of Jehovah and are being rewarded and will be rewarded by God. This is our response. Why have I found grace in thine eyes, O Lord? Who am I? No one knows this man, we say, better than this man himself. And each one of us says, of all the human beings on the face of the earth, I know I am chief of all sinners and unworthy of the least blessing from God. Why did God take notice of me? Why? I am not thy son. I am by nature thy enemy, Lord. I am not like thy firstborn Jesus Christ the righteous. Yet from all eternity thou didst set thy love upon me and not upon many others. Why me? All I deserve is condemnation and punishment. Why me? Why should I be given to Christ? Why should Jesus die for me? Why should he hang on that accursed tree for me and my sins and pour out his soul unto death for me? And why then should he earn reward after reward after reward through his agonizing suffering for me of all people, that I might be everlastingly rich? Why? Why me? Why have I found grace in thy sight? As I am here now, receiving benefit after benefit. It's one of the best questions a child of God could ever ask. If we could only live in a sense of wonder and awe every day, and just go through the day saying in the depths of our soul, why? Why me? Why did I find grace in thine eyes? Why? Me? The wicked stranger? Why? And overwhelmed by it all, like Ruth, we fall down in worship and reverence before our God, under whose wings we have come to trust, and who has rewarded us with so many rewards of grace. Why? And into all eternity, we will praise him by saying, why me? Why did thy grace come to me? Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, of all the things we see in the text, many earthly things, many pictures, we can visualize the field and the man and woman speaking to each other. But of all the things we see in the text, we see thy unspeakable heart of everlasting goodness and love for us. And all of the goodness that is now and shall be bestowed upon us, who is a God of goodness and grace like unto thee. Not one of us here deserves to be saved. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt make us humble, that we may never suppose we've earned something from thee. The only thing we could ever earn is destruction. Cause us to be humble. And Jesus himself says that the proud shall be abased, but the humble shall be exalted. Make us humble by always marveling at the sovereign grace that saved us. And may that be to the praise of thy name and to the honor of Christ the Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.